Mr. Koko, I want to start by reminding you that you are still testifying under oath. And the reason why I'm starting on this note is because you must as well be reminded that this process is in your best interest to clear your name and also to assist this committee to unearth all these alleged acts of corruption at ESCO. So I'm starting there so that we know, because I can then continue where we're going. There are quite a number of colleagues who raised the issue of your stay at the Oberoi Hotel in Dubai. And I want us to conclude this thing by making a concrete proposal on this particular matter so that we can close it once and for all. And my proposal is you must prove this committee wrong, because the records we have suggest that Sahara Computers paid for your stay. And on a number of occasions you are saying no. And my concrete proposal is that are you then able to provide records which proves this committee wrong? If you can't do it now, can you commit yourself that you'll submit this through the office of the chairperson by when?
You see, on the... I think I was supposed to be here late last year. And I approached them for a receipt and they sent it to me and I'll make it available. Direct payment receipt. I'll make it available.
By when should we expect it? Tomorrow morning. Okay, so that's fine. The steam generator Arriva contract, what role do you play in the awarding of them?
That's a very interesting project. Again, one of the projects that will go in my history as one of the saddest moments. This was a contract that was adjudicated at Kuweg and was awarded, and it went for a PFMA application, and Minister Gigaba declined it. We had to start afresh 12 months later. It was awarded to Westinghouse, you know, it was awarded to Arriva. It went to court. I deposed the Eskom affidavit in the High Court. It went in our favor in High Court. There was an appeal. We lost the Supreme Court of Appeal. It went to the Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court ruled in Eskom favor. Now, I find it's quite painful that on a matter that the Apex Court has applied its minds and looked at the evidence and concluded in Eskom favor, that we still being called to account on a matter that settled at the
It's fine. What was the argument of Westinghouse by then when they challenged this contract?
Westinghouse said we changed the adjudication criteria in the middle of pay. So they're saying we did not tell them that we will use a particular criteria to evaluate their bid. If we had told them upfront, they would have responded and they would have probably won. And they also argued that they were cheaper on price.
Let's quickly go to MMK 34. The proposed terms for settlement, I think it's page 208. in the interest of time, I don't want us to read the document, but who initiated this settlement? Was it yourself or ESCOM through Ms. V.J. Clay?
I was suspended on the 11th of March 2015. I had nothing from ESCOM. And on the 11th of May, in our first meeting, I was presented with the settlement.
So in essence, ESCOM
was
initiated the settlement.
ESCOM was firing me. That's it. This was a separation from ESCOM on the 11th of May 2015.
Then what was the outcome? What happened?
I did not accept it.
And then in your view, why did they want to settle with you?
Because their letter of suspension to me says they have a reason to believe that the power system was deliberately sabotaged, and I was one of the people singled out for it.
Let's go back to the Brakfontein mine issue. Why did you suspend ESCOM employees in the technical services in the process of the suspension of this license, the Brakfontein license?
Because we have a national laboratory of the country that says the results that you've been getting from your team are problematic. I engaged the team, and they did not seem to want to accept that the national laboratory of the country is giving a different view. And I said, I have a choice to listen to the national laboratory of the country or to listen to you.
So what's the relationship between the suspension of these scientists and the cancellation of the agreement with Brakfontein mine, the relationship?
No, the Brakfontein contract was not cancelled. It was suspended.
That suspension.
Yes.
The suspension of the scientists in question and the suspension of that license. The relationship. I'm interested in the relationship.
Now we had very long discussions about the quality of coal for Brakfontein. We had my team saying that coal is not compliant. We had Brakfontein saying, but our coal is compliant. I said, but guys, you can't both be right. You can't both be right. Let's agree on a process that we would all sign off on, that we'll all agree that we came from different positions. But going forward, we're going to agree that we're going to take samples, and we're going to, under controlled environment, we're going to prepare it under controlled environment, we're going to transport it under controlled environment, we're going to take it to a credible laboratory that will not be criticized afterwards. And it's nothing else but our national laboratory. And there was pull and push. Eventually we did it, and the results was different from what ESCOM has been saying all along. I said, but guys, why do we embarrass ourselves like this?
That's fine. I think you spoke at length about the 1.6 guarantee while you were responding to questions from my colleagues earlier. And I want to take a different angle this time around. I'm saying the provision of PFMA, the process in terms of the issuing of a guarantee, can you take us through that process?
Well, the submission was worded carefully and very clearly. that there are regulatory requirements that must be met, including PFMA.
My question is, was it followed? Take us through the process,
the PFMA process. Yeah,
just to remind you, I think Section 70 of the PFMA, just to take us through in terms of the process when you want to issue a guarantee.
Honorable Chair, I'm not familiar with that section you're quoting. This is the competency of our National Treasury, of our ESCOM Treasury. They drafted the agreements, and they were signed off by a director of the company, CFO, and it's common course now what happened.
But at the time of the guarantee, what was your position?
What was my position? My position was that the delegated authority in ESCOM, who knows what to do and is competent and trained, must sign off the process.
No, you are not answering my question. What was your position at the time of this 1.6?
Group executive generation.
Okay. So you are saying you are not very clear in terms of the PFMA process, a provision.
In terms of guarantees.
In terms of issuing a guarantee.
In terms of guarantees, no.
Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah. Yesterday, while we were interacting with Mr. C, I'm sure you had the opportunity to watch the engagements. I don't know.
Not all of them, Chair. I was preparing for this and I had to sleep early.
One of the issues that came out very sharply.
I left my learned friend to keep watching.
One of the issues that came out very, very sharply.
I did get the report.
Oh, you got the report?
I did get the report.
Okay. So I was saying one of the issues that came out very, very sharply yesterday, because he also talked to the Tegeta 659 million prepayment yesterday.
Yes.
And he was saying he was not part of the BTC meeting that decided on this particular issue. But the BTC, the tender committee, mandated him to negotiate a discount with Tegeta.
He's right.
And he successfully negotiated a 3.5% discount with Tegeta. But we asked him a question. Can you provide us with the minutes of that interaction or those negotiations with Tegeta, which resulted in the 3.5 discount?
That part I had, yes.
You had that part?
That part I had, yes.
What was his response from the report you got?
He did not have the minutes, and he said it's not always the case that minutes, discussions like those are documented.
Is that the standard practice in the company? That if you are given a serious responsibility at this one, there is no need for you to take minutes.
Generally, you keep minutes. Generally, you keep minutes. I don't know the context. I can't speak for him. He testified for himself.
But Mr. Koch, you were very close to this situation. You were very close to this situation. As far as you know, were the minutes of this negotiation?
I have not seen the minutes. I have not seen the minutes of those negotiations.
Oh, you did not see the minutes?
No, I have not seen the minutes.
Okay. I want us, I'm concluding, Chair, and I want us to go to there are two documents. There are two documents. One is the negotiations, the resolution of the committee, the BTC, which later mandated him to proceed with the negotiation, because when I looked at one MMK, I don't remember the number, there was what we call a feedback report. Seemingly after a resolution was taken by the committee, it is followed by a feedback report. I don't remember which one was it, but I just want to confirm something. How different is this feedback report from the minutes that we were talking about yesterday? Because from the feedback report that I saw here, it was like it's a record of the implementation of a resolution of the committee. Can you talk to that?
I think you're referring to the minutes that are in this pack for the meeting of the 11th of April.
I think that's the one. I don't remember the MMK number, but I'm talking about that one.
Yes.
But I'm saying
MK 29.
29.
Yes, it's page 178.
Yeah, just talk to that document, the feedback report. What is it all about?
Yeah, we had a board meeting. It's a famous meeting of the 11th 9 o'clock meeting, and it's a recorder of all the what transpired in that meeting.
Or the record of what transpired in that particular meeting. Okay. The earlier you while you were testifying, you talked about the relationship which was not so good between yourself and Mr. Tutsi.
Yes.
And you continuously said, because you refuse to take unlawful instructions.
Correct.
Are you able to just give us some of the unlawful instructions that you got from Mr. Tutsi?
The
led to this kind of this state of affairs.
The weakness that we had there was a non-executive director getting involved in executive decisions and procurement processes that he does not have delegations of authority for. You will recall that Tsulufelo Molefe was here, our former CFO, and he testified here that the ESCOM delegations of authority are structured deliberately to exclude the CFO from commercial transactions. And she's correct. ESCOM CEO and the chairman of ESCOM, the delegations of authority of ESCOM are structured deliberately to exclude them from business transactions. It's only in the later version of the delegations of authority where the CEO is given authority on specific transactions under controlled environment for up to 500 million. But the CEO of ESCOM and the chairman of ESCOM can't get involved in transaction processes. This is excluded, and Zola Tsotsi wanted me to do that. Zola Tsotsi will bring his friends and say, work with this guy. Work with this guy. This guy is unhappy. He says he's not benefiting. I did not like that.
Okay, so as you said, that's the reason why you ended up being suspended.
Certainly.
Okay. Mr. Kok, since you were appointed a member of the executive and ultimately an acting CE, what is it that you are proud of about the work that you are doing at the company?
I'll tell you one thing. I will tell you one thing that I'm very proud of, that because of the leadership challenges and what's commonly referred to as a governance challenge, people don't realize you have very, very competent young men and women in ESCOM that are keeping the electricity system working. The electricity system in Eskom is one of the best globally, kept alive by young men and women, black and white, competent by excellence. And that part does not always arise. And I understand why, and part of the reason is because of who I am. But I'm very proud of Eskom engineers. They are sought after.
But Mr. Kok, just switch it off a bit. In the main, I'm interested in those that came as a result of your leadership. What is it that you're proud of?
I built up Eskom engineering. You will battle to find any. When you talk about Eskom and engineering, it's associated with COCO. I am very proud engineer. I'm not ashamed of that. And those who work with me will always tell you, as an engineer, he applies himself, and those around him in engineering, they apply themselves. Mm.
No, thanks, Chairman.
Thanks, Honorable Teddy. Honorable Mare. And welcome back, Honorable Mare.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Kokko, I first want to start off by asking the Minister of Finance, Mr. Ngigaba. I think he asked over the weekend for you and Mr. Annoy Singh to resign. And Mr. Annoy did resign on Monday. What is your response on that?
I wrote a letter to Eskom, or my lawyers wrote a letter to Eskom. And Honorable Chair, if you give me an opportunity, in response to that question, I would like to read it.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
As you are aware, I act on behalf of Mr. Kokko. Mr. Kokko was reinstated to his position as Eskom Group Executive Generation in terms of the letter, a letter that you sent to him on 29 December 2017 with effect from 2 January 2018. An interim arrangement was subsequently made in terms of which Mr. Majola is acting in Mr. Kokko's position until the end of January 2018. Mr. Kokko was over the weekend of 12 to the 14 January 2018 engaged by a then recently appointed non-executive director of Eskom, Professor Mahova, about his future with Eskom. Despite the fact that the discussion was quite obviously off the record and without prejudice, Professor Mahova saw fit to record aspect of what was discussed in an electronic message to Mr. Kokko sent on 14 January 2018. In the circumstances, Mr. Kokko had to respond appropriately and did so in terms of an email sent early on Tuesday, 16 January 2018. We attach a copy of a wording of the email that went to Professor Mahova. We would assume that you are already acquainted with its content. Mr. Kokko hereby reaffirms that what he stated in the electronic message to Professor Mahova, aspect whereof we shall refer to again below. We have noted with concern the statement publicly put out by the government on Sunday 21, 2018, in terms of which, among other things, it was stated that the board of Eskom was directed to immediately remove all executives who are facing allegations of serious corruption and other acts of impropriety, including Mr. Kokko. We record that we provided you with an advance copy of the submission and the bundle of documents accompanying it that Mr. Kokko provided to the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises on Sunday 21, January 2018. We would assume that you, in your capacity as interim Group Chief Executive of Eskom, would have passed the documents on to the newly appointed chairman and members of the board of directors of Eskom, as well as to the appointed acting group executive. If not, we ask you to do so now. It would not be appropriate for our client to communicate directly with the board unless it engages directly with him. We also assume that you have taken cognizance of the contents of the submission. We refer you particularly to sections of the document in terms of which Mr. Gogo addressed the disciplinary proceedings to which, arising from the malicious, false and misleading reports that appeared initially in the Sunday Times newspaper, he was subjected during 2017, These are in similar vein to what Mr. Gogo put across Professor Makhoba on 15 January 2018 in terms of the attached electronic message. We again point out that Mr. Gogo was already in June 2017 exonerated from the impropriety by the investigating team comprising eight attorneys from a highly respected Johannesburg law firm, CDH, and highly respected competent team of investigators in Gongi. The board nevertheless decided that disciplinary proceedings had to be pursued against our client. It did so apparently to appease the media. As our client recorded in the electronic message to Professor Makhoba, he and ESCOM suffered immense reputational harm as a result of the fact that ESCOM's board failed to act promptly and decisively on the basis of an initial CDH in concrete reports by not then repudiating the false newspaper reports that had originally given rise to the CDH being instructed. As recorded in the parliamentary submission, the false newspaper reports were initiated by corrupt officials within upper echelons of ESCOM because Mr. Gogo was taking actions against them in early 2017 after he had been appointed as interim group executive when he was in a position to do so. He instructed that they be removed pending investigation from the post which positioned them to influence awarding of contracts and to receive bribes. Ironically, charges in this regard were later even included as charges that Mr. Gogo had to defend himself against at the disciplinary hearing presided by Advocate Mzom Tombeli. These arose from alleged whistleblower reports that emanated from these very same officials who then refused to testify before Mr. Mtombeni in the case of Mr. Francis Takule resigned from ESCOM when his wrongdoing was exposed with references to his front company's bank statements. Quite predictably, the charges that ESCOM preferred against our client came to naught, and our client was again found not guilty of all charges by the chairman of the disciplinary inquiry. Our client is, in other words, not an ESCOM executive who is facing allegations of serious corruption and other impropriety as referred to in government statement. Our client is one executive of ESCOM in respect of whom such allegations were made in the press in early 2017, but who has, after thorough inquiry, been exonerated and found not guilty of what has been falsely alleged of him. We request that you convey this to whoever from government it is who apparently operates under the misapprehension that Mr. Gogo is still facing such allegations. It is unlawful and indeed shocking that the government, the shareholder of ESCOM, has publicly recorded that it has issued instructions for employees of ESCOM to be dismissed on the basis of allegations alone. This particular reference, moreover, to Mr. Gogo, who after due process was followed, was exonerated and found not guilty. Such instructions to ESCOM are direct conflict with the rule of law that applies in our country and is unlawful attack on Mr. Gogo's rights, including the constitutional right to fair labor practices protected also by the Labor Relations Act. It is beyond our comprehension that the government of our country can act in this manner so publicly. The government, the Minister of Finance during televised interview on Sunday, 21 January 2018, stated as follows with reference to Mr. Gogo and then suspended CFO who resigned the following day. I actually appeal to their patriotic senses to do the right thing and to step down on their own so that they can allow ESCOM board time to usher in the speedy changes that are required at the utility. At times, it is not just about your ego, but also about the interests of the country and the company. A call on our time to succumb to unlawful demands on the basis of patriotism is unfortunate. Patriotism requires above all that persons involved in government and elsewhere act lawfully and respect the constitutional rights.